Hey, Springs family, it's so good to have you with us this morning for our Sunday service, and I can't wait to dive into God's Word and share with you the hope that we have. You know, the Bible is an incredible book. It's all about getting through wars, getting through plagues, getting through famines. It's all about trusting in God when things around you are falling apart. And so I love getting into God's Word in the middle of what's going on around us. Now, what's going on around us is crazy because of fear. Yes, I know that we need to use wisdom, and I'm so glad for the wisdom that the world has in different areas. But when fear prevails, the Bible says fear hath torment. I was talking with somebody there sharing a story about a friend who was standing in line at one of the grocery stores, and someone turned around and kicked their cart back, saying, "You're standing too close to me." I mean, angry. But people who are angry, that's the second step of fear. You know, if you walk downstairs in the middle of the night to the fridge and one of your kids just jumps out from behind the table and scares you and goes, "Wah!" You're going to be first scared, but the second emotion that rises up is anger. "Why did you scare me like that?" And so people today, everywhere we go, they are afraid, hence they get angry really quickly. They're raw. And that is why we must deal with our fear. Fear is not going to help us one bit. Being afraid of an enemy, being afraid of a situation, being afraid of a virus, a plague, etc., doesn't do any good whatsoever. So we're going to be talking today about what is our response as believers. What can we do? And first of all, chill out. I mean that to everybody who is stressed right out, because the Bible doesn't say that we can have His peace when it is just good times. No, we have His peace in the middle of storms. It is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. Why would He call it joy? Joy is different than laughter. It's not this tee-hee-hee-hee and this kind of giddy, weird, ignoring the problems. No, joy is a deep spiritual force that in the midst of all the negativity and the fear that pushes at you, I don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So let me remind you of some things, and I believe if you'll sit and listen to this 30-minute message, that something deep inside of you is going to be impacted by the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God brings faith. It brings courage. The Word of God brings miraculous healing, or to put another way, it brings the power of God into our lives. In Psalm 62:8, it says, "Trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before Him." God is a refuge for us. A refuge is a place of protection in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a confrontation. God is our refuge, meaning wherever you go, you've got God. In Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." I pray that for all of you who are watching from our Springs family, recognize who you are and who the people who have gone before us are. We have a great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, who have faced famine and war and pestilence, and they stood up, and the Bible says God took them through with victory. One of the wonderful families in our church from El Salvador was telling one of my staff the story. They said, "We don't understand why everybody's so upset. When we were in El Salvador, we would set the table with no food and just pray and believe God that He would provide. There was nothing." And, you know, they moved in here into Canada, became a part of our church. And so faith in God is something that they've learned and practiced. And they were saying, when you look around at people who are freaking, well, what is going on? This is nothing compared to what we've had to walk through when they were going through that time in El Salvador. And I think that we as believers, We don't put our faith in governments. We don't put our faith in the WHO, the World Health Organization. We don't put our faith in hand sanitizer. We don't put our faith in washing our hands with soap. We don't put our faith in social distancing. We don't put our faith in the doctors and the leaders around us. No. We put wisdom, and we use wisdom with all of that, because we need to do all of that. But faith is a different issue. Faith is a spiritual ability. It's a spiritual trust. It's a force that's on the inside of us. Our faith is to always be in God. Then, of course, do some social distancing if that's going to help, right? Now, of course, hand sanitizer and wash your hands with soap and all of the great wisdom that has been given to us to keep those who are really elderly or immune compromised or whatever, to keep them safe. Yes, let's use wisdom. Wisdom and faith go together. Faith isn't being stupid and we throw wisdom out. No, they go together. Let's walk with wisdom. Let's use the things we've learned from science and medicine and crowds and social distancing and whatever else is going on. But let's not get caught up in this rampant fear, because my faith, like I said, it's not in the things of this world. We put our faith in God, and we put our faith in His Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God is a beautiful, powerful way to keep ourselves in peace, to keep ourselves in joy. And it says in Romans, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it quickens our mortal body. The word quicken means to make alive with the life of God. So health, vitality, a strong immune system, a body that pushes off sickness, you know, destroys viruses, remove whatever it is that we need. That presence of God that raised Jesus' dead body, 3 days dead, raised it to life. That same Spirit is inside you and I as believers. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I think you need to give Him your life and believe on Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 2, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." It's talking about dark times, whether it's emotionally dark or, you know, the things going around the world with wars and famines. It says, yes, this is going to be on the earth. But then it says, but the Lord will arise over you, in Isaiah 60 and verse 2, and His glory will be seen upon you. Well, what is God's glory? It's His presence, His courage, His faith, and this flow of God's ability to take the impossible, okay, and begin to do miracles on our behalf. You know, in Job chapter 5 is an interesting portion of Scripture, because Job was a man filled with fear. Everybody uses Job and they go, well, I mean, what if I'm a new Job? Job was filled with fear. Job 3:25, he gives you the key to the whole book. He says, what I fear befalls me, and what I dread comes upon me. Fear is faith in the reverse. So like faith attracts the blessing of God, fear attracts the evil of the enemy. It attracts all that he has in his arsenal. And God's arsenal are Jesus and all of his promises. And the enemy's arsenal is fear and anything he can do. Jesus told us in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So anytime there is killing, destroying, and stealing going on, stealing our health, destroying our economy, all of it, whatever he's doing, the enemy is behind that. Now, people often don't think there is a spirit world, and they kind of go, ah, yeah, right. But for many of us who have worked in first responder areas as doctors and paramedics and firefighters and police, we have seen evil in a lot of different ways. So anyway, Job was a man filled with fear. He dealt with his fear through the chapters of the book of Job, and then he begins to say some things that actually are good. Many of the verses in Job that people will use are Job speaking out of his fear. But in Job chapter 5, verse 19, listen to this. It says, God's going to deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. First one, he says, in famine, he will redeem you from death. And in war, from the power of the sword or any weapon. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, liars and accusations, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. Now, stop right there. He is talking about our earth. He's talking here about literally growing things and animals, and he's covering so much. It says, and you shall know that your tent is at peace. They used tents back then. Your home is at peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. You know, the Bible is so filled with incredible promises, and most people, they've got their favorite three. You need to start getting back into the Word and listen to this message over and over. Send it to your friends and let them know that God has promises, and that these promises, we are to feed on them. Jesus talks about He is the bread of life. In other words, like you need to eat physical food to make your body energized. You need to keep your mind focused, you know the truth about the evils and the problems and the storms, but you don't stare at it night and day until it consumes your thought, your imagination. We are to literally eat God's Word, or meditate on God's Word, focus on God's Word, do everything in our power to deal with the issues at hand. But then, in our quiet and our meditative time, we believe and we trust that God is with us. When you look through the Bible, God has always had a people. And His people, if you read every story in the Old Testament and the New, they have always gone through the most incredible circumstances, and God has taken them through. Today, much of Christianity is kind of how to have psychological comfort while you are destroyed and you die. Well, you know, if you're going to die, I like having psychological. I'm glad having His peace. Whenever I do die, I'm glad for His peace and His joy. But that's actually not true. Most of the promises of God are taking you and I through. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, the word "the world" there in that circumstance is talking about this kingdom of darkness, of sickness and disease and war and famine and cheating and lying and attacking. You know, in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14, it tells you the promises for those who believe on Christ. Then after that, it talks about all the curses that are on this planet that affect everybody. And it teaches us through the Bible that as you give your life to Christ, and as you trust Him and believe on Him and move your faith away from the government, the police force, the army — I'm so glad we've got good ones, don't get me wrong — but that's not where we put our faith. Yes, we use wisdom. Yes, we trust them in areas. But this overall sense of faith and trust is in God. And there are so many people today who don't have the hospitals, the police force, the armies that we have, and their faith is still in God. So I want to challenge you today. The Bible promises you that you can come to the grave at full age. Job just said it. In Psalms 91, the last verse, it says, with long life, He will satisfy you. Everyone thinks there's a time to die. Like when your time is up, your time is up. That's not Bible. Ecclesiastes teaches us that there's a time to be born and a time to die. So we know that there are times for these things. But did you know that there's lots of verses that talk about how to move that time longer when it comes to when you're going to die, etc.? So Christians have a whole bunch of funky beliefs. And these beliefs usually aren't in the Bible. There are usually people who go through stuff and they make up doctrines to kind of, you know, be at peace psychologically while everything is failing physically, financially, and mentally, etc. Now, when you take a look at God's Word, there's some really interesting things there. Now, as I was reading through the book, these verses in Job, the very first line says, Job 5, He shall deliver you. Okay, stop right there. Even if you find the government thinks of something interesting. They figure out a new way to stop a disease with medical health and scientists. Good. Who do you think is giving them that wisdom? God can work through us. I was reading an article about the First World War and the Second World War, all the stories that were collected by men on the battlefield who put their trust in God as they were fighting to maintain our freedoms. Oh my, the stories coming from these trained men who were trained to use rifles and tanks and guns and jets as they would pray, and they shared story after story of the unique, amazing ability of God to cause things to work together for good. God just needs us to trust in Him. He needs us to believe. Faith is not being positive. Being positive is a part of this this development of faith, but being positive is not faith. Faith is a supernatural ability that comes from the Word of God. I love positive people, but if you have not spent time meditating and praying the Word of God, then you might have a personality type that's positive and happy, but that's still not faith. Jesus teaches us in Mark chapter 4 that faith is something you plant in your heart and that it takes a little bit of time to come up. In verse 26, it says, "The kingdom of God works like this, as a man should plant seed in the ground, and he goes to bed. And it says, while he sleeps, the ground produces by itself." When a farmer plants seed in soil, when he's sleeping night after night, he's not out there trying to make it grow. The soil just grows it. There is something about a person who has given their life to Jesus Christ that as you begin to read the Word of God, the Bible teaches us that if you would have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, this story is in the Bible in multiple places, if you had faith the grain of a mustard seed, you would say. Everyone thinks if you have this little bit of faith, you can do incredible things. He's not talking about the size of the seed. He's talking about the power that is in the seed. And the seed, according to the teaching of Jesus in Mark chapter 4, is the Word of God. The Word of God is, the Bible says in Peter, it is unkillable seed, unstoppable seed. And so how do we plant God's Word in our heart? Through praying it out loud, and then through meditating on the power that is in God's Word. That then that seed gets planted in our heart, and it begins to grow. As I travel the world and speak in many countries that are way worse off all the time than we are here in Canada or America, I meet men and women who have such a strength, such courage, and they have great faith. And they don't have great faith because they've gone through great storms. Everyone thinks storms give you great faith. No, the Bible says in the book of Luke that when the storms hit the house built on the rock, the storm couldn't shake it. Then it says when the storm hit the house that wasn't built on the rock, which is God's Word, Jesus, that it totally destroyed it. In neither case did the storm strengthen the house. In the first case, the carpenter built the strength into the house, and the storm which came to destroy it couldn't shake it. In the second case, the storm came and utterly destroyed it. Say, well then, Pastor, where do we get this strength? It's faith. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory. It doesn't say this is the psychological comfort. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It doesn't just tag along and go through it with everybody else. All through the Bible, God's people had promises from Him to stand on, and they would see His redemption. They would see answers. They would see His protection. They would see Him rise up on their behalf. Read it. It is filled with miracles of healing, miracles of protection, where God would even cause the armies coming against them to turn on each other and just destroy each other off. So I don't know how God's going to meet your need, but your faith needs to be in Him. And He'll work through governments. He'll work through hospitals. He'll work through scientists. He'll work through everybody that He can. But our faith must be in Him. What then do we do as believers? Well, now that Jesus has died on the cross, it's very important that we grow in this ability of faith. So, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 3 says that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you are a believer, that this measure of faith is given to you. This is the God kind of faith. This is the faith Jesus used. It's not just a positiveness. It's not just a happiness. It's not this phony, fake laughter or ignoring the storm. That's not faith. Faith recognizes mountains, recognizes giants, recognizes the winds and the waves, and addresses them full on with the power of God. So, get into the Word of God, church, and begin to every day speak or pray the Word out loud. Not in a begging way, please, God, because according to Peter, the book of Peter, it says he's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so what I do is I just take his Word and I pray it and I thank him for it. I just say, Father, I want to thank you that your promise says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who heals all our diseases. I'll just take a promise. Thank you. That's at work in my life. I want to thank you right now. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, thank you for that promise, Father. I thank you in Mark chapter 16 that it says there that if I eat any deadly thing, it will not hurt me. Now, that's all-encompassing. It doesn't mean that anything you breathe is not included. No, it literally is saying it. Anything that comes at your body, it says there, it cannot hurt you. So I like saying it this way. I take Mark chapter 16 and I say, Father, I want to thank you that anything that I breathe, anything that I eat, anything that I drink, anything that I breathe, anything I get that I absorb, and even if they're giving me medication, I'm not accepting any of the side effects, that nothing can by any means hurt me in the name of Jesus. Thank you for Romans 8, that your word says, if the same spirit that raised Christ's body from the dead dwells in me, it makes my body alive with life. I love speaking or praying the promises of God, and I pray them as already done, because Jesus on the cross qualified you and I for the answers. All of God's promises, as I always say, are yes and amen. And when you look at that, I love the expanded Bible as it tries to expand and show you what he's saying there. When it says all of the promises are yes and amen, it means done, finished, you are qualified. Then how can we be qualified? Romans 5:17 says that to be in right standing with God is a gift from Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus Christ and you ask him to come in, the Bible says you are righteous as a gift. So many Christians are trying to earn their righteousness by being good enough, by cleaning up their life enough. When you give your life to Jesus, you come as you are. And then his power and his strength helps you to live the way you would like to live, which means with honor and integrity, being able to keep your word to your spouse, to the business people that you work with. All of this integrity and honor and character, we can't do that on our own. But when you give your life to Jesus and he comes in, then his strength, his power, his faith. You know, some people don't get this. So I'm going to just say it this way. When you give your life to Christ, you have access to the righteousness of Jesus, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have access to the armor, the spiritual armor that Jesus wore. And Isaiah, you have access to it, and it says so in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and on. You have Holy Spirit, who is within you like Jesus had him. You got Jesus' armor. You've got Jesus' faith, Romans 12, 3. You've got amazing things. Why do we move from faith in these wonderful verses over to, did you hear what they're saying? Now, I listen to the news. I listen to all the experts that I can. I then take that and try to run all of our churches and television stations and schools and the stuff that we're doing around the world in all these different languages. We study, we learn, we grow. We want the wisdom of understanding management, understanding administration, understanding leadership, understanding all of these things. How do we protect? How do we deal with this? So we're always doing that. And I love learning and watching and growing, but I'll never allow them to move me into a spirit of fear. Because it doesn't say, this is the victory that overcomes the world, following the government. It doesn't say, this is the victory that overcomes the world, listen to your doctor. It doesn't say, this is the victory that overcomes the world, socially isolate for the rest of your life and don't touch people, talk to people, or go anywhere. Now, the things I just said, I know there's wisdom in certain things with them. All I'm saying is, as I learn to handle myself with the isolation, as I listen to good doctors, as I listen, there still can be on many of these great men and women a spirit of fear that seems to transfer. And I refuse the spirit of fear. Let's stay in a spirit of faith. Yes, let's use wisdom as men and women as we see our families through whatever this is. And when this is all over, we're going to look back and, you know, we'll learn a lot. I think there's more to it than what meets the eye. So right now in the midst of it, the Church of Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus and you believe on Christ as your Savior and Lord, then let's go to the Word. Let's recognize, like we said in Job 5, that He's going to deliver us from all the troubles this planet has. And you say, well, Leon, how's He going to deliver us? The Bible says we must put our trust in Him. We must believe in Him. That we must use this beautiful, powerful substance called faith. How do I get that faith? I pray the Word of God. I pray His Word. And then I meditate on His Word so that His Word begins to get into my heart. Your heart, not your physical heart, but this deep center of your deepest beliefs. I've heard people try to drum up some courage. Oh, I'm okay. I'm going to make it through. But deep inside is a root of fear. And that fear is always going to win. I've seen others say, well, everything's going to be fine. But what I've done is I've recognized God's Word. Speak His Word. Speak His Word. As you pray the Word of God out loud, the Bible all through it, it talks about saying, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, and then it says that sycamine tree would obey you. Jesus is walking with His disciples along the path, and they saw this tree. And He's teaching them on faith. They said, teach us faith. And He said, well, He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. He wasn't saying if you had this wee little bit of faith. No, He's saying this is how you use faith. It says, then you would say to the sycamine tree, be uprooted, and it would obey you. It doesn't say it's going to obey God. It doesn't say it's going to obey the angels, but of course it would. But it's teaching you and I that this faith that has been delivered to the saints, this faith which has been given to you and I, Romans 12:3, this faith that comes out of God's Word, you know, Romans 10:17, this faith that comes through speaking His Word, praying His promises, believing that when this smoke is cleared, that I'll still be standing, blessed and serving God. This is what we need to be doing as believers. And of course, if we ever die and go to be with Jesus, it's not even a loss. Because heaven is so beautiful, so real. We're all going to be there in 100 years from today. And we're all going to be laughing and loving and enjoying the beauties and the goodness of heaven. But while we're here on this planet, I'm not going to just roll over and say, well, there's a verse of the Bible that I kind of laugh at. It's talking about slothful, lazy people who follow God. And it goes like this. The lazy man says, there's a lion in the streets. I guess I will die. I read that as a young man, and it just made me kind of laugh. I thought, are you kidding me? If there was a lion in the streets, it's going to be run or fight, grab something, shoot him, drive over him, climb a tree. But to just go, oh, there's a lion in the streets. I guess I will die. It's just like there's just no hope. We just give up. And it's telling us not to be like that. And so my time is up for this message today. I so am thankful for Springs Church and anyone who is watching us today. I want to bring hope. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in the finished work of the cross. Because of all the promises of God have been given to me as a free gift because of Jesus. I thank Him that in the midst of this storm, I can trust in Him. I'm going to be speaking His promises in the day. Whenever I have something that pushes at me, I just speak the promises of God. If fear pushes at me because of a new stat, I go, I want to thank you, Father. No weapon formed against me prospers. I want to thank you. Everything I put my hand to does prosper. If all of a sudden I hear about things going down and people are falling left and right, thank you, Father. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me, Psalms 91 says. I just love praying the word. You know, when you feel greasy and yuck and you've been out running around and you don't smell, you can't even stand your own smell or your own breath, there's nothing as beautiful as a shower. Man, when you get in that shower with that hot water and that soap and you just feel like a refresh, that's how I feel when I speak God's word, when I pray His word, when I declare what His word says, even in the middle of storms, even in the middle of all that's going on. When I'm done, I just sense this spiritual ability of faith rising up on the inside of me. And then I find it easy to be courageous. I find it easy to be at peace. I find it easy to live in this joy. I find it easy to look around and have all the Chicken Littles running around going, ah, the sky is falling, ah, the sky is falling, ah, the sky is falling, and go, no, my God will see me through. I pray that you'll turn to Jesus. I pray that you'll have your faith anchored in the only hope that will take us through everything on this planet, Jesus Christ. And then let's not be foolish, presumptuous with this faith, thinking that we can ignore all of the principles of health or the No, I like listening to wise men and women saying, this is how we're going to get through this. This is how we're going to minimize casualties, minimize infection rates. Good. Listen to them. And to the best of our ability, let's follow wisdom. But my faith is in God, His word alone. Father, I pray right now that you would touch each person that is listening to me. If they know you and they've given you their lives, I pray that the word would take root inside of them and strength and peace and joy and faith would rise up and they would see you intervene over and over again as you have promised. Father, for those who don't know you, I pray that right now they would just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I choose you and I choose to believe in you. Guide me and lead me now in Jesus' name.